Matthew 28. Matthew 28 from verse 16. So we're looking at our gathering, right? Our gathering. Matthew 28 from verse 16. So then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus has appointed them. And when he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power is given me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 16. Mark 16. From verse 16. Then he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believes not shall be damned. Say, and this sign shall follow them that believe. Say, in my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them, and confirming the words with signs following. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke 24. Luke 24. Are you in Luke 24? Verse 45. It says, "And he opened he their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Hallelujah. So, you know, the question you ask sometimes is, why is this instruction important? Hallelujah. Why is this instruction important for the believer? So why do you always read this instruction? Why do you always quote this instruction? Hallelujah. Why do you always quote it? Why do you have to read this instruction again? Now, we said the instruction is very vital, because everything you find the apostles do in the book of Acts are a product of this instruction. Hallelujah. The Acts of the Apostles are a product of this instruction. What we have as the epistles will come from these instructions. Hallelujah. Very, very vital. So that means these instructions become the foundation, the bedrock for a Christian life. The bedrock for a Christian life, Christian living. The foundation for Christian living. Hallelujah. Becomes the foundation for Christian living. So, the next question you now ask yourself is, very vital, what are these instructions? Now, something you have to see, very vital, is the fact that Jesus gave that instruction from Galilee. From Galilee. And over the weeks, we've been talking about that, right? Jesus gave the instruction from Galilee. What does it mean? What does Galilee mean? Why Galilee? Why not somewhere else? We said location is important in theology. We said location is important in theology. You. It's very vital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can have theology and without location. Hallelujah.
Location plays a major role,
a vital role in theology.
And let's take a few of those.
We said one of those locations we have to look at is Moriah. Moriah. Abraham in Genesis 21 goes up to Moriah with Isaac. A lot of people think Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. No, that was a teaching class. I've told you that over and again for you to know. Hallelujah. Say God wanted to test Abraham. No, God wasn't tempting Abraham. God was actually proving Abraham. Hallelujah. Wasn't testing him, was proving him. Glory to God. So Abraham goes to Mount Moriah. With who? With Isaac his son. Now, remember I told you, in every of those stories, always ask yourself the question, what is the theology? Hope you're following me. What is the theology? What is God's study in thee? It's not just a mess story. Moses would not just have put stories there for you to be saved by moonlight. No. Because what Moses is writing is theology. Hallelujah. And in writing theology, he will write theology around man. Man's relationship. Because God will be known in his relationship with man. Hope you're following me. So you cannot, the same way you can't take away theology, you can't take away God's interaction with man from theology. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So you find that across. Also Moses will write God's story. You know, he says he told the children of Israel, he's God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God is a relational God. He will be found amongst men. So God, you find God's story interwoven in men's story. So you will not read men's story as men's story. You will read men's story and read the theology in men's story. Okay, follow me. You will read the theology in men's story. So when he tells him, go to Mount Moriah with your son. Look at Genesis 21. Let's get to Genesis quickly. Is that Genesis 21? Okay. Genesis quickly. Hallelujah. Genesis 22, Genesis 22. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. That word is not tempt, they were actually proved. Do you understand? And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And Lord said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac. Did you see that? He used the word only son. Everybody look up. At this time was Ishmael born? There was Ishmael, right? But why did he say only son? That is why you have to look at the concept. That's why you have to look at that concept in theology. Who was called only son again? Did you see? How do I follow this? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. How do I follow that? How do I follow that? So you have to look at that concept. You ask yourself, what is the theology there? What is he writing there? Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. What is this I say there? Glory to God. He says, your only son. So in their world, when you use the word only son, it's used for one who takes up the responsibility of the father. So he refers to Isaac as his chosen son. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So take your only son. So, and also take him to Mount Moriah. Now, for you to see how important Mount Moriah is, or location is in theology, is the fact that he went to Mount Moriah to offer Isaac up. So when he gets to Mount Moriah, what happened? Did he offer Isaac? There was a lamb, right? A lamb was offered. A lamb was offered, right? Glory to God. A lamb was offered. So there was a lamb. Now, watch the theology there. Jesus came into the scene in John. Look at John 8. Quickly, let's rush to John 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John 8. Verse
verse 58, it says, and your father,
you know, they were having a talk, and Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Generally, I am. And a lot of people felt, people today, if you read it, you think he's saying he senior Abraham by age. No, he wasn't talking age yet. They understood what he was talking. He said, I am. He said he is the God of Abraham. Hallelujah. I am. That's the word, that's the name reserved for God. So I am is not just a phrase. I am is a real name. It's God's name. So he now says, your father Abraham. Do you see that? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. So where did Abraham see his day? That he was glad. That was Mount Moriah. Do you see that? So Jesus told them, hey, Abraham on Mount Moriah saw my day. And they were like, what do you mean? You are going to say, you see Abraham. You know, all those stuff. But you know, that was what he's talking about. Say, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. So what is Jesus' day? What is Jesus' day? Jesus' day will be the day of his death, burial, resurrection. So he's saying, Abraham saw my death, burial, and resurrection, and he rejoiced. You see that he used the same word for exuberant joy. This is Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You know, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham. Hallelujah. So Abraham, that means on Mount Moriah, Abraham saw the death, burial, and resurrection. What did Abraham see in Mount Moriah? That is, what did Abraham see? What did he teach in Mount Moriah? He taught Isaac that there would be a lamb that would be slain, right? So now Jesus is teaching theology here too, and he goes back again to Mount Moriah. You see that? Now for you to see that it is very vital in theology, when Jesus was to be crucified, where was he crucified? He was crucified in Calvary tree. On Calvary tree, he suffered for me. Calvary tree is a place, or Calvary is a Latin name. It's a Latin name for Golgotha. So Jesus was killed in Golgotha. Hallelujah. Jesus was killed in Golgotha. Golgotha is a Latin name for what? For what? Calvary. And what is Golgotha? Where is Golgotha? Golgotha is the mountain in Moriah. So Jesus was killed on Mount Moriah. Did you see that? The same Mount Moriah. And that is why he would say, Abraham rejoiced to see my deed. Did you see that? Did Abraham say, and he saw it and he was glad. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. Hope you are following that. Can you see theology there? Can you see? Location is vital in theology. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus too, when he talks, we use locations very well. But before we get to Jesus, let's get quickly to Jordan. Hallelujah. Jordan. Jordan is another location in scripture that speaks towards theology. A location, Jordan. So when you hear Jordan, what comes to your mind is the Jordan crossing. Hallelujah. It's the Jordan crossing. I've said it over again for you to know. It's Jordan crossing. So the people that left Egypt were not the ones that went into Jordan, that went into Canaan. Hallelujah. So Jordan crossing will be a repetition of what the Red Sea. Because those who came out from Egypt all perished in the wilderness. Hope you're following me. They all perished in the wilderness. Numbers 14 verse 26. They all perished in the wilderness. So another generation went into Canaan. Hope you're following me. So they had to cross the Red Sea. They had to cross Jordan. Hope you're following me. So that means Jordan will be in their world, they cross Jordan the water. Jordan will mean a new beginning. Hope you're following that. Jordan will mean a new beginning, a restart. Do you understand? A restart, a new beginning where? In Canaan. Hope you're following that. Out of the wilderness into Canaan. That will be Jordan for you today. Hallelujah. Very vital. Vital. Location. They cross the water. So what will the water imply? A baptism. Right? And in their word, water is used to signify a new beginning. Glory to God. Glory to God.
So what happens after? Naaman, and the next time we hear, okay, we now saw Naaman and Elisha. Naaman was leprous. Listen, look up. Naaman was leprous, and he came to Elisha. Leprosy in Israel, if you are leprous, you're not supposed to be amongst other people in the city. You are kept outside the city gate. Why? Because leprosy is contagious. Do you understand? And it's a sign of uncleanness. We're going to get to that today. Where they are gathered together is supposed to be holy. So uncleanness must not be found in their gathering. Okay, following. So leprosy is a sign of uncleanness. So in Israel, a leprous man does not stay with the people. That is why when Jesus healed the leprous, the 10 lepers, he sent them to go show themselves to who? NDDC. Right? The high priest. Hope you know that. Went to show them themselves to NDDC. To know if they are fit to live among people. Hope you are following that. Hope you are following that. So now Naaman came to meet Elisha. What did he come to do? He wanted to be healed. So where did Elisha send him to? Elisha didn't send him to Bethsheba. He didn't send him to other good rivers. He said, go to Jordan. He sent him back to where? To Jordan. Why Jordan? He said, go wash 7 times in Jordan. He brings him 7 times. That is 7 times will be Moses. Did you see that? 7 times will be Moses. The 7th time will be a new beginning. And a new beginning from the Jordan. Did you see that? So what will be Jordan? Jordan will also mean a new beginning. Did you see that? So he goes back to Jordan. Okay, following that. Why will you tell him go to Jordan? He's telling him that your problem though is leprosy, but leprosy is not the main issue. Your main issue is a new beginning. Okay, following this. The main issue is what? A new beginning. What you need is a new beginning. A new beginning. So you have to go back to the Jordan and have a new start. Okay, following this. Very vital. Jordan is new beginning. So God will use that location. Hallelujah. Because Elisha is a prophet, you will see it in his words. There will be a new beginning. So he's saying, what is wrong with man is what? Uncleanness. What will God do? I will pour clean water on you and ye shall be clean. Ezekiel 36. Oh, we hope you are saying that. So what will be that clean water? He says the Spirit, right? So between Elisha and Naaman, what will be that clean water? That will be the Jordan. Hope you are following me. Amen? Amen? So was Naaman clean? After the 7th time, what happened? He was made new, right? Was made whole, made new, brand new, to make you see that in the Jordan will be a new beginning. Hope you are following me. A new beginning out of leprosy, out of uncleanness. You are now clean. Hope you are following me. So now John came on the scene. Who is John? John came and he's talking about like every other prophet. John is the forerunner that spoke about every other prophet who spoke about Jesus. But John had the unique role to point us to the Christos, to point us to the Messiah. So he did that, right? In John 1:29, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? So John's baptism was not water baptism. I said that over and again. John's baptism isn't water baptism. In Acts of Apostles chapter 19 and Acts of Apostles 19 verse 4. Look at Acts 19. Because he's a prophet, he's got Nabi, God's spokesman, his gospel, or what he will be known by what he said. Acts 19. Are you in Acts 19? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 3. And he said to them, unto what were you baptized? And he said, unto John's baptism. Verse 4. And Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying. Did you see that? Saying. So John's baptism was first a message. Are you following that? John's baptism is a message. Saying. It's a message. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 13 of Acts, verse 27. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry, I said 27, it's not 27 actually. Hallelujah. Verse 25. No, 24, sorry. But then when John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. So John's baptism was first the message. You see that? Was first the message. So what he now did in Jordan was a sign of the message. So what John was telling them is that in the Messiah will be a new beginning. You see that? In the Messiah will be a new beginning. God will take away the sins of the world. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You see that? Behold the Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God. When you hear Lamb of God, what comes to mind? Moriah. Right? Mount Moriah. Was that where a lamb was provided? Exactly. You see that? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what does he then do? After he's done teaching them, he now wants to demonstrate it to them. He goes again to Jordan. Why does he go to Jordan? Why doesn't he go to other rivers? Because Jordan is a sign of a new beginning in the promised land. So he goes to the Jordan. He says, verily I baptize you with water, but he that will come will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, why did he say, verily I baptize you with water? He's telling you, my baptism with water is a symbol of what will happen in the new beginning. What you will receive is the Holy Ghost. Hope you are following that. Hope you are following that. Amen. Are we together? So, location will be vital in theology. Very vital. Very vital. Hallelujah. So, Jesus goes to Galilee. He goes to Galilee. And in Galilee, he sends them to the nations. Why Galilee? Why did he go to Jerusalem? Why Galilee? Very vital, you need to see. He goes to Galilee because in their world, Galilee is just like Lagos, where you have people from different states, different tribes, are gathered in Galilee. Galilee is called Galilee of the Nations. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1. Let's get to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. Galilee is called Galilee of the Nations. Are you there? He said, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her decision. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more graciously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the Nations. When you call it Galilee of the Nations, because it is where these people from different nations come to. Hallelujah. So Galilee is just like Lagos. I wouldn't want to say no man's land. Because it's wrong to call Lagos no man's land. Because people's village too, like my village. Hallelujah. But you have people from different nations there. From different tribes are in Galilee. Hallelujah. So Galilee is called Galilee of the Nations. What are you following me? In Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, are you there? Amen. Verse 15. And the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, he calls it Galilee of the Gentiles. Isn't that? So Galilee is a place for the Gentiles, is a place for the nations, people to come together. In fact, you call most times in their world, they see Galilee as mixed multitudes, people from different places. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know what? God chose Galilee. Why would God choose Galilee? You know, Galilee is where people are from different nations, right? So why would God choose Galilee? Where was Jesus born? So Jesus was born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born. Nazareth is a place in Galilee. It's a town in Galilee. I showed us that, right? Nazareth is a town in Galilee. So Jesus was born in Galilee. Yeah, I love the man of Galilee. He said, no. You are not worthy. For you to be worthy, you think, I love the man who lives in me. Jesus was born in Galilee. The reason why he sang the song of Galilee, because Galilee, it was vital, you know. Hallelujah. Amen? So Jesus was born in Galilee. That was why in John 1:45, they had two guys, Philip and his brother Nathanael. Look at what Nathanael said when Philip told him they found the Messiah. John 1:45. Look at what he said. It is, Alpha 44. Now Philip was in Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. This is that Philip found Nathanael and said to him, who found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did. Right. He says, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David. Look at what Nathanael said in verse 46. Then Nathanael said unto him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? What did they say? What did they say? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's not saying, you know, he was saying Nazareth in their world was a ghetto.
Okay. But he wasn't referring to whether it was a ghetto or not. Was being recalled, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because Nazareth is where? In Galilee, where you have what? Where they see as what? A mixed multitude. They believe, when you say, can anything good come out of Nazareth, he's saying the Messiah cannot come from a mixed multitude. That's what they believe. They say the Messiah will come, maybe will come from Jerusalem. What they have learned is, they had a different notion, but God allowed the Messiah to be born in Nazareth. Why Nazareth? Why Galilee? Because Galilee is the gathering of the nation. So, I say that to say this. Christianity, I've heard several people say Christianity is a foreign religion. That our religion is to worship Shango, is to do native herbal. No. It's a very useless talk that doesn't have an origin. What are you hearing me? Amen? So whenever I hear people say, Christianity is white man religion. Our own religion is to be training cowries on the floor. That's why your life is like this now. Amen? Amen? When they were busy inventing planes, busy fighting for land with gas. Nonsense. Amen. There is white man religion. No, it's not white man religion. Hallelujah. Jesus was born in Galilee of the nations to make him know that what he is the savior of the whole world. But yeah, what happened? Why Galilee? Why Israel? Israel was to give him his natural body, right? It was just for him to have a natural descent. But he was born specifically in Galilee to show you he will be the savior of the whole world. To make you see that Christianity is not going to be an Israeli religion. No, it is actually God's plan for the whole earth. What are you following me? So don't judge people saying Christianity is a borrowed religion. No. Actually, what they have, what you have as idol worship, Shango, worshipping Ogun, is actually rebellion. Rebellion to what God has done in Christ. Amen. Amen. I remember years back, I had a call to, let me not say the word agi, but I had that call to iron things out with a guy that was saying things like, our religion is this, is that. I said, it's not true. I said, it's not true. I said, no, it's not true. It can be. But like, why? I said, see. Let's get back to there was no Christianity in Africa. It was this kind that I said is not true. He said, he didn't ask me why. I said, let me tell you something. Before Jesus was born, Africa knew about God. Most times there is because people don't know the origin. People don't do history. They don't check back. The nations know about God. Amen? I said, do you know who the Queen of Sheba is? Do you know where the span of her territory? You don't know, that's what I'm talking. The Queen of Sheba is an African. She's African. And when she came to meet Solomon and heard of Solomon's wisdom, what is Solomon's wisdom, I think? Solomon just sat there and he said, what is this name that people did? He said, don't leave me, or don't leave me. See, he thought that was what Solomon was doing. Say, head wisdom. Solomon, don't leave me, or don't leave me. No. But yeah, of Solomon's wisdom will be Solomon's teaching of scripture. How do I follow this? Amen? What does scripture call wisdom? The knowledge of God's word. So, she came and she heard Solomon preach. She heard the teaching, so she took it and went. Hallelujah. So that means, okay, before then, look, I say, calm down. We can go further. Amen? Who is Moses' in-law? See who? He called his name. I said, okay. Is he an Israeli? No. But he gave Moses the counsel of the Lord. In fact, he's called
a priest. He's a priest of God. And he was not in Israel. And let me talk to you about when he was in Africa. So before you begin to judge and say Christianity is Jesus, watch it well. So that means Africa knew about God right from the days of Moses. The gospel was in Africa. Hallelujah. And so what about Jesus, who brought Christianity in Africa? They took care of Enoch. When he met Philip, what did you think he did? He got saved and he carried what brought you to Africa. So some say it was few years ago, during 1903, 1504, was then I got to go to Africa. What nonsense are you saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, don't say things like that. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Don't say things like that. So when people are arguing things like that, just know those are people, someone who came out with first class on the university cannot argue something like that. You know, in people that used to come out, they used to carry laugh. That was it. Like a guy who is not even first class or second class, third class, was saying, I've come to think about it that there's no God. That's your brain used to think about. Use it to go and get first class. We can all use it together. Amen. When professors are dropping a season and saying that there is God. Professor! People that are well esteemed, that we can, you know, professor, amen? You do not know that project. I'm a free thinker. He's not a free thinker. Satan has got an estate on you. Nonsense. Hallelujah. So Galilee shows you that what? So when Jesus gets to Galilee, remember we said Galilee means the nation. So Jesus now told them to meet him in Galilee. And from Galilee now say, I send you to the nation. He's telling them from where? A symbol of the nation. Did you see that? So it will be vital. Go. Jesus did the same thing too when he got to Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16. Hallelujah. He got to Caesarea Philippi, where Caesar is called Lord, and Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? Location. Hallelujah. Why did he ask them that when he was in Jerusalem? Why did he ask them that when he was in Galilee? He asked them that in Caesarea Philippi, because in Caesarea Philippi, that is where they called Caesar Lord. He asked them, who do men say that I am? What is he doing? He's trying to make them see that Caesar is not Lord, I am Lord. You see that? So location is vital. Hallelujah. Location is vital. Very, very vital. So we began looking at our gathering, right? Because at the background of that instruction, go make disciples, is a gathering. Gathering. So we began looking at our gathering, the believer's gathering. Hallelujah. Now we say our physical gathering is the cause of our gathering in him. Hallelujah. Our physical gathering will be born out of our gathering in him. In the new birth, when a man gets born again, he is gathered in Christ. Or when a man gets born again, he is found in Christ. So every believer is found in Christ. Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 22. Say you have come. Let's get to Hebrews 12, everybody. Hebrews 12. Are you there? Hebrews 12. Verse 22. It says, but ye are come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Did you see that? So it says, you have come. This is what has happened to us. Hallelujah. To an innumerable coming of angels, to a general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, that is, we have come to God, the judge of all, and the spirit of judgment now made perfect. 24. And to Jesus. Did you see that? We have come to who? Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Hallelujah. So in the new birth, when a man gets born again, he has come to Christ. with that. When a man gets born again, he has come to Christ. What does it mean to come to Christ? Look at John 15. Look at John 15. We saw a bit of this last week. John 15. Before we get to John 15, we start from John 14. Verses 16. John 14, 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Say, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he neither sees him nor know him. Say, but you know him. He shall be in you and shall dwell. He shall be with you and shall dwell and shall be in you. Say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Do you know that? So Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." That means in the resurrection, when a man gets born again, Jesus comes to him. Right? Right? Okay. Verse 20. "In that day you will know that I am in the Father, ye in me, and I in you." 23. "If a man love me, he will keep my words." That is, he will believe, right? "And my Father will love him, and will come and make our home with him." So that means in the new birth, Christ comes to our heart. Right? Right? How does Jesus live in us in the new birth? By his Spirit. Right? Now, look at chapter 15. Look at how he explains it. He then says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine, is the husbandman. Vine dresser, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch in me that bears fruit, the Father that he may bring forth more fruit." Look at verse 4. He then says them, "Abide in me and I in you." Did you see that? So, we've seen that in the new birth, right? What happened? He lives in us and we are in him. Did you see that? He lives in us and we are in him. So, when a man gets born again, God lives in his heart. And he is in Christ. He is in God. And God is in him. Did you see that? In the new birth, Christ lives in us and we are in him. Glory to God. The fact of the new birth. We are in him and he is in us. Glory to God. So that, look at this. So that means all of us are in him. Now that our gathering together in him by the new birth is called church. Church is our gathering in Christ. You see that? What is church? Our gathering in Christ. Glory to God. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22, Jesus is called the head of the church. The head. When he says the head of the church, he's not expecting you to now start thinking of somebody's head. No, he's saying head there is the word in the Greek. It's the word in the Greek, kaphale. Kaphale is used for a source. He is the source. You see that? Christ is the source. Hallelujah. Christ is the what? Is our source. Hope you're following me.
Hope you're following me.
He's our source. He's the source. The kaphale. Source of the church. And what does he call us? He said, "We are members of his body." Hallelujah. We are members of his body. Ephesians chapter 5. Quickly. Ephesians 5 verse 30. Let's get to Ephesians 5 verse 30. In Ephesians 5
verse 30.
He says, "For we are members of his body," this that, "of his flesh and of his bones." This that, we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. So what the tense is, we. It is a you. It says we are members of his body. This is that. Hallelujah. So the body is the church. This is that. So the church is not one person. Say, "I'm the church of Christ." No, you are not the church of Christ. Hallelujah. You, one person, is not the church of Christ. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. We are the church of Christ. So the word ecclesia is used for a called out one, not a called out person. A called out people. You see that? Ecclesia, a called out people. So, listen, a called out people. So, something you need to see. Glory to God. A called out one. We are members of his body. So we are called out once.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how called out? Because of the Holy Ghost in us, we are members of his body. Because of the Holy Ghost, because of the Spirit of God in us, we are members of his body. So the Spirit of God in us makes us not just members of his body, he makes us his temple. You get me? Makes us the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So, because of the Holy Ghost in us, we are his temple. But we are not the church. Hope you are following that. Are we the temple of God? We are the temple of God, but we are not the church. The church is the gathering of believers in Christ. Hallelujah. So the church deals with a gathering. The church deals with the what? A gathering. Hallelujah. Now we say the physical gathering is because of that gathering which we have in him. So we will now gather because of we are gathered in Christ. We can now gather physically as church, as local church. Did you get that? Amen? So what would be that background? That background would be the children of Israel. Right? When they came out of Egypt into the wilderness. Imagine they just came out from Egypt. Everybody, we have crossed Red Sea. Oh yeah. Hallelujah. How far? Bab Jata, we have left. Oh yeah. We've seen it here. We've seen it. No, they didn't do that. Right? They're together. So they came out. Remember, the crossing of the Red Sea is a symbol for the new birth. Right? Right? They crossed the Red Sea. So they left Egypt. Egypt to be darkness. Egypt to be unbelief. Right? Egypt to be the world. So they left Egypt to the wilderness. So in the wilderness, they were together. Hallelujah. In the wilderness, they were together. They gathered. And in Acts 7:36-38, Stephen will say, that was the church in the wilderness. That means there is the church in the wilderness. There is the church in the wilderness. That gathering is called church. You see that? That gathering is called church. So, what is church? Church is first our gathering in Christ. Right? Right? Our gathering in Christ. It doesn't include members of every, it doesn't include every believer all over the world. Yes. All believers all over the world, we are the church of Christ. Hallelujah. Because we are all gathered in him. Right? Now, because of that gathering in him, we now have the local churches. Hallelujah. The physical gathering. The physical gathering is called local churches. Jesus will say in Matthew 18:20, he said, when two or three, when you do what two or three is a symbol for a local gathering, a local church. So when two or three are gathered together in my name, son ago, are gathered. Now that word gathered is used for people that have the same or that are together because of a common, they have something in common, so they are brought together. Hallelujah. Son ago. So when two or three are gathered together in my name. In my name they will be in my authority. Say, there I am in the midst of them. Hallelujah. There I am in the midst of them. So that means, when believers are gathered together, God is there. Okay, you hearing me? God is there. God is there. So is God here today? Is God here today? God is in our midst. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. So no gathering of believers. No believers gathering is a mere gathering. No gathering is a mere gathering. Just going to church. No! God is there. As long as you are gathered in his name, God is seated there. God is there in your midst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So all believers gathering are very important. Very important. Very important. Why? It's because God is there. All believers gathering are supposed to be an encounter with God. God is always in our midst. Hallelujah. Hope I follow you. God is always in our midst. God is always in our midst. So, hallelujah. So that means, if God is always in our midst, does it mean that, you know, God is in us, and when we are gathered together, He is with us? That means our gathering is sacred, right? Is our gathering sacred? Is our gathering holy? Amen? Is our gathering holy? Okay. Can we say this place is holy? Why is this place holy? Because we are gathered. Hallelujah. So the ground where we are gathered is called holy ground. Hallelujah. It's called holy ground. Because God is here. Jacob knew that fact. That he had a vision and saw a ladder up to heaven. And when he woke up, what did he do? He called that place Bethel. God's family. The house of God. We're going to look at that in the street. Hallelujah. He called it Bethel. So he called it Bethel. And he anointed the place to show that that place is sacred. So we can have sacred places. Hallelujah. When believers are gathered together, that ground is called holy ground. Hope you're hearing me? It's called what? Holy ground. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Here we go. Let's do something. So that means, in the gathering of believers, in our local churches, in our gatherings, everything, every session is important. You see that? Every session is important. Why? Because God is there. So I'll have to treat the gathering well. I have to, you know, we said that last week, you have to honor the gathering. Look at Psalms 26 quickly. You have to honor the gathering. Psalms 26, verse 8. I want us to read together. Hallelujah. Everybody, Psalms 26. Are you there? We're going to read verse 8 together. Are you there? Amen. Look at, let's read verses 8 together. Verse 8, 1, 2, go. I have loved the inhabitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. Did you see that? What does he call the house? Which is our gathering. What does he call it? He says his honor dwelleth there. That means I have to honor it. I have to honor that gathering. What are you following me? I have to do what? Honor that gathering because God dwells there. His honor is on the gathering. You get me? Where has God placed his honor? On his gathering. Let's see chapter 27 verse 4. 25. So, here's how we go. We'll read verse 4 and 5 together. 1, 2, go. Chapter 27, verse 4. 1, 2, go. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Did you see what he's saying before we get to 5? His desire is to do what? Is to what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are we in the house of the Lord? Are we in the house of the Lord? Yes, okay, let's look at verse 5. Once you go, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now my head be lifted up above my enemies round about. Therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises to the Lord. Did you see that? What will you do in the garden of the Lord? What will you do in his temple? Come on. I will do what? Come on, let's look at it. Verses 6, 1 to go. What will you do in the tabernacle? I will offer sacrifices of... We are going to see all this. Right? I will offer sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises to the Lord. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Where will you do that? In God's temple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In God's temple. In God's temple. Look at chapter 29, verses 9. Are you there? Chapter 29, Psalms 29, verse 9. God, this will come alive as we get into our teaching. Psalm 29, verse 9. Are you there? Okay. I'll start from verse 8. Let's read verse 8 together. Verse 8 together into 9. 1, 2, go. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hands to cleave and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. So what do you do in his temple? What do you do in his temple? So, are we his temple? Are we his temple? Yes, sir. We are his temple, personally, right? Collectively, are we his temple? Yes, sir. Why are we his temple? Because he dwells in our midst. Hallelujah. So what do we do in his temple? Let's start from chapter 27. Let's start from chapter 27 and take it to 29. Now what do we do in his temple? What? To offer sacrifices of? We'll sing praises to his name. In his temple, everyone speaks of his
glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what do we do in the gathering? We'll speak of his glory. Hallelujah. What do we do in his temple? We'll speak of his glory. We'll offer up sacrifices of praise. Sacrifices of joy. Right? Right? In his temple. Hope you're following this. Hope you're seeing that. Hallelujah. So then, why do we gather? We have just seen it. Hallelujah. To offer us sacrifices of joy. Why do we gather? To speak of his glory. Let's look at something else. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7. Why do we gather? 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 17. Are you there? Now indeed I declare unto you, that I praise you not, that they come together not for the better, but for the worse. So that means, Paul was admonishing them. He was rebuking them. That when they gathered together, what they were doing was for the gathering for a wrong reason. That is to say, what they were doing in their gathering was not the right thing. So he said, you're supposed to gather for the better. So we are gathered together to get better. When we are gathered together, we do what? We are gathered to the end that we get what? Better. Hallelujah. The word to get better means we gather so that we can get improved upon. We get better. Hallelujah. We get better. We get improved upon. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 10:24. Are you there? You understand? Look at verse 24. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Thus consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exalting one another in so much more as you see the day approaching. So that means we'll gather to stir up ourselves. Hallelujah. we stir up ourselves to love and good works. That is to say, we gather to stir up ourselves in our walk in the Spirit. The love is the walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Here we are gathered. We stir up ourselves to walk in the Spirit much more. Hallelujah. 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 We stir up ourselves. We stir up ourselves with what we do in the garden. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what kind of gatherings do we have? What kind of gatherings do we have? It's just like in the world. In the world. If you are in the corporate world, you have different kind of meetings. Amen? In the corporate world, you have different kind of meetings. There's what you call NPR. NPR is called Monthly Performance Review. You have what we call board meeting, board of directors meeting. That's what we call the annual general meeting. That's in the world, right? In the corporate world. You know, we also have some people have what they call end of year parties. It's a meeting, though. I hope you know that. Huh? It's a meeting. End of year party. So we have what they call team bonding. Right? Team bonding. And we will have dinner party. Dinner party. People have birthday celebration. How do you feel somebody is dressing on sportswear to dinner party? So I wait and go to dinner party and you are wearing my new jersey. Very money. And at the back of my the name that is written there is the guest. Why are you going to? Yeah, I'm going for dinner party. You dinner yourself in hell. You know that? You can be going for dinner party on a sportswear. Hallelujah. Or yes, why are you going down to go and play ball? We're having football match. And you're wearing suit and tie. Oh, well. Then what position are you doing? You say, I'm the papillo. God bless you. Right? You have to dress for the occasion. You have to prepare for the occasion. Right? So in the world, they have different kinds of meetings. They have different kinds of meetings. The same way too, as Christians, we have different kinds of meetings. What does that mean? We have what? Different kinds of meetings. And it's good you know the kind of meeting we have as Christians. What does that mean? You go to your, you know. Hallelujah. We have different kinds of meetings. So the first kind of meeting we have as Christians, as believers, is what we call the teaching meeting. Teaching meeting. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Are you there? Matthew 28. Look at from verse 18. Okay. If you say, all power has been given me in heaven and the earth, go therefore and do what? Teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. 20, let's just say this together. Matthew 8, 20, 1, 2, go. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So, teaching is the primary meeting of believers when they are gathered. What are you hearing? Amen? Amen? Okay. Teaching is the primary meeting of believers when they are gathered. Primary. Every local church, every Sunday service, is a primary meeting. So every Sunday service, as we call it, should be a teaching meeting. What are you hearing me? Teaching meeting is the primary meeting of believers. It's the primary meeting of believers. What happened in teaching meeting? Imagine you say, right, I'm going to church, right, having a teaching class, and you have the Bible. No. Teaching meeting, you come with your Bible. That in all believers' meetings, you come with your Bible. So in teaching meeting, you come with your writing materials because you are going to write. What are you hearing me? You're going to write. In a teaching meeting, somebody is teaching, like I'm doing now, is a teaching meeting. What we can say? What is teaching and you are taking notes is the primary meeting of believers. Everybody hearing me? Is the what? Primary meeting of believers, where we are taught the word of God. Jesus taught the same way. Teaching is very vital for your spiritual growth. Hallelujah. It's very vital. I believe that every other, see, teaching meeting is so primary that every other meeting are being taught in teaching meeting. Every other meeting are an outflow of the teaching meeting. Every other believer is an outflow of the teaching meeting. Jesus taught a lot. A lot. He taught a lot. In Matthew 4, he was in Galilee and he was teaching. Hallelujah. You are following me? He was in Galilee and he was teaching. In Matthew 5, he went up to the mountain and he began to teach. He taught from Matthew 5 to Matthew 6 to Matthew 7. He was just teaching. Hallelujah. That's a teaching day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He taught them. There was a time he went out with them. He was in the wilderness with them for days and he taught them. When he was on teaching another, let's give them food. Hallelujah. He taught for days. The apostles who taught for days. Hallelujah. Paul in Acts 19, we say he taught them morning and night. For a space of 2 years, he was teaching them morning and night. So teaching is very vital for spiritual growth. But the people he taught, we're going to see that message. The people he taught in Acts 19, 12 of them, when he was coming in Acts 20, they were already elders. So that means teaching will bring about spiritual growth. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. It is 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. Let's get to 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. It says, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine there is the word teaching. So that means everything should be taught. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's the word for spiritual growth. Hallelujah. So we are taught for spiritual growth. Hallelujah. So teaching is very vital. It's very vital. Amen. So we'll have another meeting after teaching meeting called prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is a practical class of the teaching meeting because prayer is taught also in the teaching class. Did you see that? Amen. So in the teaching class we are taught prayer. Glory to God. In Luke 11, Jesus was done praying and they asked the master, teach us to pray. In Luke 18:1, Jesus said, he gave them a parable about prayer to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You see that? So prayer is taught in the teaching class. What is prayer? Prayer meeting. We have also prayer meeting. We will gather to pray. We gather to pray. Hope you follow me. We gather to pray. Jesus had such time. Jesus had personal prayer time. Hallelujah. Personal prayer time. We also had prayer time where he took people up and they prayed together. In Luke 22, he carried Peter and John and they went to pray. You know that? A prayer meeting. In Acts 1:14, the apostles had prayer meeting. They prayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 1 verse 14. Let's get to Acts 1 14. It says, and all this continued in one accord, in prayer and supplication. They continue. So they had prayer meeting. You see that? They had what? Prayer meeting. Glory to God. Prayer meeting. We also have, okay, in Acts of Apostles chapter 3 verse 1, Peter was going to the temple in the hour of prayer. That means they had prayer time. They had prayer time. You see that? They had prayer time. In church, you have prayer time, you have prayer time. Hallelujah. We will meet to pray. It's as important as other meetings too, because God is always there. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We'll go out together to pray. To have prayer meetings. Hallelujah. Amen. We can have special prayer meeting time. Maybe long hour prayer meetings, like we have in prayer retreat and GPLR. Long hours when we just stay and pray. You know, the way you dress for that meeting is different from the way you dress for normal meeting. Like now you are here, you are wearing, look at the way I'm dressed, look at the way most of you are dressed, right? Long sleeve. You know, we are going for a longer prayer meeting. You now you wear tie. Your tie will tie you. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? You have to wear something that will make you move freely. Amen. Amen. A pastor was sharing with us about how they went for WCC. WCC. And everybody dressed normal. You know, the WCC, that's where we wear some, you see some dressing that are dressing. Then they will see that will be tight. Because when cold comes sometimes, you scratch. So you just wear something that is open. Hallelujah. You allow air into your body and you are praying. So as they were praying, somebody now wore tie. And suits. Ah. Ha. Bro. Everybody just, you know that, you just be looking like that. This is like that. Johnny just come. Everybody just pray. And you know when you're praying like that, you know it's long hours. You're praying long hours. Minimum of 24 hours. Minimum. 24 hours stretch. But it's more than 24, but minimum 24 hours. And you're praying. Imagine you're praying 24 hours. It's just like you're running marathon. You know people, if you have never run marathon before, and then you're running marathon, you just start and you are just using all your steps. You know a point will come, you're not finished. you see a Kenya guy, he's jogging. You say, you know, he doesn't do anything. I have gas. That your gas will run out. It's a marathon, you're running from here. Let's say you're running from here. Example, you're running from here to Ife. You're running from here to Ife, for example. From Lagos to Ife. I see a Kenyan. It's almost as if he's even walking. And you, you, my fan. Yeah. You are throwing your leg. Imagine the Kenyan is still in beggar. You have gotten to, I'll even put it, you have gotten to MFM. You are running. You know you will get out. Amen. You will get out. You have, that's your strength. You use it towards the end. Here we go. So you are going for the guy you gave, and before they know it, you were shouting, man of God prayer. Everybody was just praying normal. The voice was loud. Before they knew it, he knelt down. Oh Lord. Before they knew it. You are not hearing his voice again. You are lying down. Glory to God. He's coming down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So prayer meeting. You get prepared for prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Prayer meeting. You come to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have what we call healing meeting. Okay, before we get to healing meeting, we have what we call evangelistic meeting. Evangelistic meeting. I hope to dwell on this. I hope to dwell here next week very well. So we have to deal with evangelists. Who is an evangelist? There's some people say, evangelistic meeting is only evangelist. We're going to dwell here next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So evangelistic meeting. During evangelistic meeting, we'll all come together and we'll go out for evangelism. Hallelujah. We'll come together and we'll go out for what? Evangelism. We'll go to preach the gospel to the unsaved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll go to preach the gospel to the unsaved. We'll go out for evangelism. You know, there are people who say it's only evangelists that go out for evangelism. I don't do evangelism because I'm not an evangelist. It's the wrong statement to make. Hallelujah. We're going to see others next week. Hallelujah. Who is an evangelist? See, an evangelist is one that goes to evangelism. That is very awful. Don't say that. Hallelujah. Who is supposed to go out for evangelism? We all. Hallelujah. We go out for evangelism. We'll gather to go and preach the gospel. Amen? To evangel. That is to talk about a messenger. To talk about something. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? To talk about God's good news. So it's called evangelism.
The way we teach evangelism is a product of the teaching class. It's a practical class of the teaching class. The same way prayer is a practical class of the teaching class. All right, follow me? Amen? You don't just have to do evangelism, you talk, right? And then you practice. You talk up to people about Jesus. One thing you must never assume is to assume people know how to do evangelism. Hallelujah. Never assume that at all.
Glory to God.
Amen. Okay. We have another meeting called the healing meeting. Now, the healing meeting can happen in any of the meetings. You can have a special healing meeting. Amen. You can have a special healing meeting. Just healing. But the same way, you can also have the healing meeting in the teaching meeting. We're going to see this too. Hallelujah. You can have it in a teaching meeting where people you are teaching, like Paul, while he was teaching, he perceived that they had faith to be healed. He was teaching. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? So you can be teaching and then heal the sick. So the healing meeting can happen in a teaching meeting. It can happen in the evangelist, in the evangelistic meeting. When we go out for evangelism, you see the sick, right? You lay hands on them and get them healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes the evangelistic meeting can happen from the healing meeting. I put out something on Facebook, a video. Make sure you get, those of you on Facebook, make sure you get on Facebook and on our Instagram page, which is St. Pavilion Church, and listen to it. I put out that video online. Hallelujah. I spoke, that was during CRC last year. I spoke about a healing meeting, what should happen. Hallelujah. Just a short speech concerning it. How that when you see a healing, is an opportunity to evangelize. Hallelujah. When you go out, you can call for the sick, lay hands on them, they are healed, and then do what you preach. Hallelujah. So the evangelistic meeting can flow from the healing meeting. The same way too, the healing meeting can flow from the evangelistic meeting. Hallelujah. And it can also flow from the teaching meeting. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Then, we now have what we call the Holy Ghost meeting. The Holy Ghost meeting. The Holy Ghost meeting is not a meeting of anointing oil. Holy rub anointing on your forehead. No, that is not Holy Ghost meeting. The Holy Ghost meeting is called our Believer Town Hall meeting. You know, I told us we're getting here close. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost meeting is like the Believer Town Hall meeting. You know, in every other meeting, we go out and we minister. Okay, in the teaching meeting, one person is teaching, others are writing. Prayer meeting, we're all praying, but one person can be leading. Right? Right? In the evangelistic meeting, so we all go out and then we minister to the unseen. But in the Holy Ghost meeting, we are ministering to ourselves. It's a Believer Town Hall meeting. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of God is given free course in our midst. The needs of everyone is met. Hallelujah. The needs of everyone is met. The Holy Ghost is given free course in our midst. The needs of everyone is met. Hallelujah. And we all are full of joy. We leave the door with joy. Through the door with joy. The need of everyone is met. And we all, full of joy, leave through the door rejoicing. Hallelujah. That is the Holy Ghost meeting. In the Holy Ghost meeting, every one of us participates. Every one of us participates in the Holy Ghost meeting. In the Holy Ghost meeting. Remember, we said the Holy Ghost is giving free course. The gifts of the Spirit are in full demonstration in the Holy Ghost meeting. All the gifts. The gifts of... So we're going to take it one by each. First of all, we're going to take it like that from next week. Hallelujah. The gifts of the Spirit are in full manifestation. Hallelujah. The gifts. So we all flow with the gifts of the Spirit. And our needs are met. Our needs are met. Glory to God. Our needs are met. And we all, living through the door, are full of joy. Joy! Hallelujah.
God. That's the Holy Ghost. And that is what we're having.
Hallelujah. That's what we're looking at.
This month into next month, before believers' convention. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost meeting. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
So we said the gift of the Spirit. I put them also. Let me talk a bit about the gift of the Spirit as a roundup. The gift of the Spirit. So let's pause here for a while and look at something. The gift of the Spirit. So when we say gift of the Spirit, it means they are gifts that are of the Holy Ghost. Right? Right? So what have we received? The gift of the Spirit are the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what have we received? What have we received? Look at Romans 8 verse 9. Everybody together. Romans 8 verse 9. Are you in Romans 8? Are you in Romans 8? Look at verse 9. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, of Christ, he is not of it." It says, that word "if so" is not actually in the original. What, how great is it? "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in you." Is that? You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. First of all, the man who has the Spirit of God in him. Do you have the Spirit of God in you, verse? So the man who has the Spirit of God is not in the flesh. Say, "I'm not in the flesh." Once a man is born again, he's not of the flesh. Say, "I'm not of the flesh. I'm of the Spirit. Because I have the Holy Ghost." Say it because you mean it. Say, "I have the Holy Ghost." Say, "I have the Holy Ghost. I am not of the flesh. I am in the Spirit." Look at 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Are you there? It says, are you there? Let's read together. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Stop. We have received not the Spirit of the world. So that means there's the Spirit of the world. Amen? There's the Spirit of the world. What is that Spirit? It's called the Spirit of darkness. Put your hands there. Look at... Oh, okay. Let's read on. So then I'll show you something. Okay, we see the Spirit of the world, right? But what? That we might know those things that are freely given to us of God. Right? Right? Put your hands there. Rush down to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Let's see the Spirit of the world. And what the Spirit of the world does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you 2 Corinthians 4, 4? Are you there? Okay. Verse 4. 1, 2, go. Stop. So he calls the Spirit of this world the God of this world. What has he done? The minds of who? Those who believe not. So those who are not born again. What did he say has happened to them? Their minds have been blinded. By who? God of this world. Can we call the God of this world the Spirit of this world? What, so what does the Spirit of this world do? It blinds the mind of men. When I say blind the mind of men, it doesn't mean that they are now blind physically. It talks about what has happened, their state of heart, right? They are blinded. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:2. Let's get to Ephesians 2:2. Glory to God. Ephesians 2 verse 2. Are you in Ephesians 2? Okay, look at verse 2. 1, 2, go. In time past, which is before you got saved, you walked according to the what?
Of
okay.
According to the grace of the power of the air.
Stop. He calls the devil
the God of this world, the spirit of this world. He calls it what? The prince of the power of the air. Right? Continue. Stop. So that means, everybody look up. A man who is not born again, something is working in him. It's not the spirit of God. It's what? The God of this world. A man who is not born again, no matter how gentle the person is, that person is ruled by the kingdom of darkness. Hope you are following me. That person is ruled by who? The kingdom of darkness. A man who is not born again, he can be acting nice. Well, that is the devil at work through him. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. The devil is working through. That is what scripture means. So see, it says their mind is blinded. Right? By the God of this world. Because the God of this world, the prince of the power of the earth, there are spirits that now walk in men. But you know what? It now says in 1 Corinthians 2, but received, not the spirit of this world. Right? That we will not receive the God of this world, nor the spirit of the power of the earth. Right? Say, but we will receive the spirit which is of God. You see that? So that means what we have received is the spirit of God. Say, I have the spirit of God. Right? I've taught you so well to know how to say those things, right? You say, I have the Spirit of God.
I have the Spirit of God.
I have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And I said that you might know those things that are freely given to you of God. Meaning there are things that God has given to you. Hallelujah. There are things that that has been given to us that are of God. That we need to know and walk in them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Part of those things we have received because of our union with the Spirit of God are the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to look at that. So when you get born again, the Holy Ghost comes with his gifts. Hallelujah. So we'll begin to look at all this next week. Glory to God. Because in the Holy Ghost meeting, the gifts of the Spirit are in full demonstration. Right? The gifts of the Spirit are in full demonstration. So we're going to have the gift of the Spirit in full demonstration. And we'll see, there are some things I'm going to teach you uniquely as we get prepared for Believers Convention. How to flow with the gift of the Spirit. Every one of us. Hallelujah. We're going to flow together. Amen. 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 How to keep it. So I'm teaching you so that not just when you are in church alone. Amen. Not just when you are in church, when you gather alone. Some people have restricted Holy Ghost meeting to when we gather alone. Remember what we read in Psalms 29? It says, in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. Did you see that? In his temple, everyone speaks of his glory. So that means you know how to initiate an Holy Ghost meeting with fellow believers. Hallelujah. You just know how to initiate it. How to initiate it. Amen. You just initiate it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Have you learned something today? Share with someone what you've learned.